How many of you have been watching the Olympics? I love to watch the Olympics. The great athlete, the greatest athletes from around the world coming and competing for the gold. We have just really enjoyed, Linda and I, our family, just enjoyed watching the Olympics over the last couple of weeks. And man, I'll tell you, all the different events, I read that there are 36 different categories in which they compete, and a number of different competitions in each of those categories. All kinds of categories, archery and wrestling and boxing and all kinds of categories. But we had our favorite. I don't know if you, did you have a favorite? Anybody have a favorite that they liked? I liked the women's gymnastics. I even liked, Linda and I really got in. As Linda and I got into the beach volleyball, I just loved it. The finals, two American teams, loved that. You know, we knew we were going to get the gold, and we were going to get the silver, and we did, and we did. It was just great. Now there are some of the events I have to say I wasn't real excited about. I just didn't get it excited about. I mean, I just don't get too excited over the badminton. I mean, I wouldn't stay up late at night to watch the badminton. Or the ping pong. Oh, sorry, table tennis. I just didn't get into that one. And some of the fencing. Is Mike here today? Sorry, Mike. Mike brought in his sword the other week. And I took fencing in college, but I just don't get into the fencing. But the gymnastics. And I just love seeing the women's gymnastics team take the gold. Wasn't that neat? I mean, they started out with just a flurry on the vault, and then they kind of stayed even with, I think it was the Russians on the uneven parallel bars, slipped a little bit there, but then they got on that balance beam, and good old Gabby Douglas, the flying squirrel. Man, just to watch her. And then by the time we got to the last event, the floor exercises, it was just a victory party. And I just enjoyed watching that. I really did. And the others. And then Gabby Douglas taking the all-around. I think it was the first time an American had been on the all-around team gold and then took the all-around individual gold at the Olympics. And what a joy it was to watch that. And then if you're a swimming fan, who was it? Michael Phelps. I think he got a couple medals or something, and wow, just great. And then last night, I woke up this morning, saw the Akron Beacon Journal, and the women's basketball team won the gold. And who was it? I put it down here. Candace Parker, scoring 21 points, having 11 rebounds. Man! And we did really good. In fact, I cut it out of the paper this morning. We're tops on the medals. We're tops. We had 44 golds, 29 silvers, 29 bronze, 102 total. Next after us, China had 87 medals. We got 102. I'll tell you what, we did pretty good at the Olympics. And the men didn't play basketball yet, did they? That's today. And the last of the dream team. I mean, and all the stories that went behind the Olympics this year. I was reminded today, I was talking to Jim this morning about the man from South Africa that without legs, running on blades for the South African runners. His name is Oscar Pistorius. And actually that team got into the 4x400 finals. Now they finished last, but that story about a man without legs running in the Olympics. Just some amazing stories in the Olympics. Now, I want to just ask, you know, have you ever thought, what does it take to be an Olympian athlete? What does it take to be an Olympian athlete? Now, I read an article that was titled, What It Takes to Be an Elite Athlete. And in that article, the question was asked, what separates an Olympic athlete from those who don't reach that level? And here was the response. It says, a lot of it depends on skill and natural ability. And that is true. A lot of it depends on skill and natural ability. But there is also their mental state, and that takes years of hard work, planning, discipline, scheduling. These athletes push their bodies to the limit. They want to be the best of the best. They have incredible concentration, focus, and a lot of heart. They are not paid to compete. They represent their countries and get a lot of satisfaction out of personal accomplishments. The Olympic athlete, ready for this? Generally works out 6 to 7 days a week for several hours each day. They are working on strength, speed, coordination, and balance. What separates these athletes from others is when they get tired, they keep on going. They get the last rep in. They do whatever it takes to get it done. They do whatever it takes to get it done. Now, this morning, I want to ask another question. It's kind of on the same line. What does it take to be an Olympian for Jesus? What does it take to be an Olympian for Jesus? You know, as followers of Jesus Christ, we want to do our best, be the best of the best. Amen? Amen? I mean, we should. If you're here this morning, you don't want to be the best of the best. You want to just be a mediocre Christian. You might as well get up and leave right now. Because you know what? We shouldn't want to just be mediocre. We should want to be the best for the best. Amen. For the blessed one. We should want to be our best. So this morning, I want you to take your Bibles and open them up to Romans chapter 12. And you remember in Romans chapter 12, we're in this last section of the book of Romans. And dealing with Christian service and living out the Christian life. And I've entitled, and you can put this down, verses 9 through 21. I entitled these verses, Genuine Christianity. Genuine Christianity. Because Paul, in these verses, is stringing together various exhortations for Christian living. And Dr. Douglas Moo, who was a professor of mine over at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, talking about these verses, he says this. He says, these verses contain a volley of short, sharp injunctions with little elaboration. And today, I would like to center our attention on three of those injunctions or three of those exhortations found in verse 11. Now, these exhortations or injunctions reveal to us what it takes to be an Olympian for Jesus. If we are willing, if you are willing to take this to heart, what it says in verse 11, and live it out in your Christian life, you can be all that Jesus wants you to be. You can go for the gold in the Christian life. So what does it take to be an Olympian for Jesus? Let me read the verse first of all. It says, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. First thing it takes to be an Olympian for Jesus, it takes perspiration. Perspiration. Not lagging behind in diligence. In other words, it takes a lot of hard work. To be an Olympian, it takes a lot of hard work. And we can say, we cannot, first of all, we cannot be lazy in our Christian walk. You see that phrase, not lagging behind, that word, the word lagging behind is the word lazy, slothful, pokey. It comes from a verb that means to delay or to procrastinate. The great reformer Martin Luther translated this phrase, "Be not lazy in what you ought to do." Be not lazy in what you ought to do. Now, the Lord Jesus used this word over in, it's recorded over in Matthew 25. You remember that Matthew 24, Jesus talks about his coming back, his return. And in Matthew 25, he continues on that same theme and he says, listen, Christians, be on the alert. You don't know the day or the hour when I'm coming back. And then Jesus gives a parable, the parable of the talents. Do you remember that? It says, he said, a master went away on a journey. And before he did, he gave five talents to one of his slaves. And to another of his slaves, he gave two talents. And to another of his slaves, he gave one talent. Now, y'all know or realize that a talent was a sum of money. So I'm just going to put a sum of money in there. He gave to one slave $5 million. And to another slave, he gave $2 million. And to another slave, he gave $1 million. And he went away. And all of a sudden, the master then comes back at some time later. And he calls his slaves in to give an account of what they had done with what he had given them. He called the one that he gave $5 million to. He said, come here, what did you do? He said, master, I took your five talents, your $5 million, and I went out and through hard work and through investments and using it wisely, I gained five more. Here, $10 million. He went to the one with two and he said, how about you? Give an account. He said, master, you gave me $2 million through hard work and through wise investments. I gained two more million, $4 million. Here, master. You see, and the master responded to both of those slaves with the same response, same commendation, same recommendation. He said, well done, good and faithful slave. You have been faithful with a little bit. I'm going to bless you with much. But then he came to the one that he had given $1 million to, one talent. And he said, give an account. And the one he had given $1 million said, oh, master, I knew you were a hard and exacting man. And I know that you sow where you did not reap. And you gather where you did not scatter. And I was afraid. So I took what you gave me, and you know what I did? I buried it. Here's your $1 million back. You remember what Jesus said to him? He said, you wicked, lazy slave. This man took, he had been blessed. This master had blessed them. But he took the blessing and he buried it. And Jesus said, you're a wicked, lazy slave. The word lazy there is the word in our text, be not lagging behind. Do not lag behind. Don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. Don't be lazy in what God has blessed you with. Now, somebody has defined laziness. Listen to this definition. Laziness is the tendency to remain where we are in life instead of moving to where we could or should be. Do you hear that? You know what? You think about it. Laziness is staying where you are in life instead of moving on to where you could or should be. And I think with that definition of laziness, probably we've all been lazy. At times, anyhow. Come on, you can say amen. You can admit it. It's true. We all tend to be lazy. But this verse says, not lagging behind in diligence. To excel for Jesus, we cannot be lazy. We can't be lazy at our jobs. You know what? Christians should be the best of the best at where they work. They should be the best of the best. No matter if it's Uncle Robin's pizza or wherever. They should be the best of the best. We can't be lazy in our homes. Our homes will just fall down around us. Can't be lazy in raising your kids for Jesus. It takes work. I'm going to tell you, and parents, you know it. If you are trying to raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, it takes work to do that. But we can't be lazy in the spiritual disciplines either. The spiritual disciplines of life or our ministry. We can't be lazy, not if we're going to be an Olympian for Jesus. We can't lag behind in diligence. We cannot be lazy. But on the other hand, what we have to be, we must be diligent in our Christian walk. Did you see it there in the text? Not lagging behind in diligence. Now, the word used here in this verse is the same word that's used back in verse 8. Look at verse 8. Where it says that if you have the gift of leadership, you should lead with diligence. Lead with diligence. This word is used 12 times in the New Testament. The verb that this word comes from means to be diligent, to work hard, to labor, to endeavor. Now, I read another article this week, which is entitled, What Does It Take to Be an Olympian? Listen to what it says. To be an Olympian, you have to love what you do to put in the 10,000 hours of deliberate practice, hard work that is needed to become an expert in your sport. 10,000 hours that are needed to be an expert in your sports. I read of Michael Phelps. Michael Phelps, who got 6 gold medals, by the way, in the Athens Olympics in 2004. He got 8 gold medals in the Beijing Olympics. And in this Olympics, he got how many? Haven't you been watching? No. Ah, Andre. 4 gold medals and a couple others. He ended up his career with how many? 22. Somebody was watching. Oh, geez. 22. Most decorated Olympian. They're talking this last week. Maybe he's the greatest Olympian athlete of all times. 22 medals. What did it take to get there? Let me tell you. In preparation for the Olympics, he trained 6 days a week. 6 hours minimum a day without fail. Even if Christmas Day fell on a training day, he had a full day workout. He would swim approximately 50 miles every week. 4 years. 50 miles. That's over 8 miles swimming every day in preparation. I'm going to tell you, folks, it takes perspiration to be an Olympian. It takes a lot of hard work to be an Olympian. Now, what does that say to us? I'll tell you what, if you're going to be an Olympian for Jesus, it's going to take work. It's going to take perspiration. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Do it with your might. And again, I think as Christians, and I'm pointing the finger out here, 3 are pointing back to me. We sometimes tend to be lazy. I tend to get lazy sometimes. Now, I don't know. I think you may too. I tend to get lazy in my Bible reading. I miss a couple days. I said, oh, yeah, I didn't have time today. You know what an Olympian does? He finds time. He does what he needs to do to get it done. I get lazy in my prayer time. I really do. I get lazy in my prayer time. Now, I talk to the Lord all the time, but I'm talking about really getting serious and really talking to the Lord and being, we're going to talk a couple weeks and being devoted to prayer. I get lazy. Get lazy maybe in remembering what it's all about. We're reaching people for Christ. And you know what? If we're going to be Olympian for Jesus, we can't be lazy. We got to put the work in. And I know that some of you are thinking, you know. And I'll tell you, it's easy to plop down in front of the television at night and just kind of vegetate. And some of you are thinking, you know what? When I get home from work, I am just exhausted. That's all I can do. That's all I can do. And I understand we need some downtime and we need time to just clear our minds, and I understand that. But Pastor, by that time I'm too tired. That's when you need to pick your Bible up and read your Bible. That's when you need to get into prayer. You need to do what it takes to get it done. If you're going to be an Olympian for Jesus. And that's what I need to do. I'm not preaching at you. I'm out in the congregation right now. We need to do that because we want to give our best for the blessed one. We want to be all that we can be for Jesus Christ. It takes perspiration. Secondly, it takes inspiration. It takes inspiration. It says here, fervent in spirit. Now, what does this phrase mean? The word fervent in the Greek is zeo, Z-E-O, zeo. It's the word we get zest from, zeal from. It literally means to boil, to boil. Now, I don't know if any of you remember, if you're from this area, you may remember a pastor by the name of Jim Weininger. Any of you remember? I know Linda does. Anybody ever meet Jim, Pastor Jim? Yeah, a couple of you. He ministered in this area for a long, long time. I'll tell you, Brother Jim was noted for two things. First of all, he was noted for scripture memory. This guy could spit scripture. I mean, everything came out of his mouth was a scripture verse. He knew, I don't know how many scripture verses he knew, but he knew thousands of scripture verses. He knew his scripture. And he was known for his fervency for the Lord. Brother Jim, when he would come up to you, he had a unique way of greeting people. And I'll never forget this. He would come up to you. He'd come up to me and he'd say, Brother Les, how you percolating? How you percolating, Brother Les? And how you bubbling up? How you boiling? He got this from this verse. Be fervent. Be boiling up. Be percolating for Jesus. And zeo means to boil. It also means something else. You know, literally it means to boil, but it also means to burn, to be on fire. And very interesting, be on fire. And, you know, to be an Olympian, there's got to be a fire in the bosom. There's got to be. There's got to be something that drives you on to excellence. A fire. Now, for the Olympians, I mean, it could be a number of different things. It could be a desire for fame or glory. It could be a parents. Or a coach, some of the coaches, the stories of some of the coaches were real interesting in this Olympics. But they drive these people, and there's a fire. They keep on stoking the fire so these Olympians have the zest, the zeal, the fervency to keep on going. It could be the endorsements. The endorsements. They said the flying squirrel, I don't know if you heard this, Gabby Douglas, could get up to $100 million in endorsements. Now that could spur some people on for the gold. Huh? What spurs us on? You know, my Bible translates this fervent in spirit. But actually in the original, there's a little article in front of spirit. it should read literally fervent in the Spirit. And my Bible has a small s, and I think it should be a capital S. Because where we get our fervency is through the Holy Spirit. Amen. This could be translated a glow in the Spirit. A glow in the Spirit. Burning for Christ. On fire. How's your fire? How's your fire for Jesus? I thought about that. I thought of a story that I heard. And the story was of a fire that broke out in a small town church building. There was a fire. And when the firemen came, when the fire brigade got there, the minister recognized one of the firemen as a long absent member of the church. So he said, hello there, Jim. I haven't seen you in church for a long time. And Jim responded, well, it's been a long time since there's been any fire in this church. I tell you what, there are a lot of churches, there's no fire. So I can ask you, how's your fire? Well, let me ask you another way. How you percolating? How you percolating? Do you have a fire, a zeal for the Lord? I'll tell you, the only way we're going to be an Olympian for Jesus is if we have inspiration from the Holy Spirit. Amen. But again, I'm going to have to be honest. Sometimes my fire doesn't burn very brightly. Sometimes I get cold. Sometimes, even worse, I get lukewarm. How do we keep on fire for Christ? Let me give you four ways you can keep on fire for Christ. You can put them down. First of all, if the flame is dwindling, if your flame is dwindling, see if there's any unconfessed sin in your life. And confess it and forsake it. You know, sin dampens the Holy Spirit. Sin grieves the Holy Spirit. It quenches the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30 says what? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you have been sealed unto the day of redemption, laying aside all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and abusive speech from your mouth, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. He says, listen, get the sin out. Get the bitterness out. Get the anger and the clamor and all that kind of junk. Get it out. Don't grieve the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. If there's an unconfessed sin in your life, confess it. That's number one. Number two, get filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, right? And that's the Christians. Now, we have the Spirit. We're indwelt by the Spirit, but we need to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Do not get drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. I'll tell you, talk about fervency. We need the Spirit to be in control of our life. I'll tell you, I like to start out every day and say, Holy Spirit, get in control of my life. If Les Sutherland's in control, I'm just going to be flat. I'll have no fervency. Control my life. Be first, Holy Spirit. Live through me today. And you know, if we ask by faith, He'll fill our lives. So confess sins. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. Then pour on some Word of God. Pour on the Word of God. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Colossians 3:16, I think it is, says. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Again, I'll tell you what, the spark of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God is like gasoline. You pour the Word of God in. You read the Word. You meditate on the Word. You memorize the Word. And I'll tell you what, I'll tell you, the spark will break forth in a glowing flame. And you will be driven by the Holy Spirit unto excellence for Christ. And then number four, be in church. Get around believers, not mediocre believers. They'll dampen your spirit. But get around believers that are on fire for Christ. I'm going to tell you what, we need to be in church. You know what I see? When people, especially when somebody is in sin, they start missing church. And then they start growing cold. And their Christian life and their family's not what God wants it to be. We need to be with believers. We need to be in church on Sunday morning and worship like we did today. Amen. We need that. That's part of staying aglow with the Spirit. It's just like the guy that started missing church. And he missed church for several months. It was during the winter. And the pastor went to visit him. And he went in and he said, John, you haven't been in church. I've noticed you haven't been in church. What's going on? He said, you know, pastor, he had the kind of the attitude that a lot of people today in the 21st century here in America have. I can be a Christian. I don't have to go to church. I can be a soldier. I don't need an army. I can be a Christian. And pastor, well, really? And there was a fire. You know the story. Fire in the fireplace. And the pastor, without saying a word, just stood up, walked over, grabbed the tongs, grabbed in the fire, grabbed a glowing coal, red hot coal, placed it down on the hearth in front of the fireplace, went and sat down. In a few seconds, the light went out. In a few minutes, that coal was cold. Next Sunday, John showed up in church. I'll tell you what, you take a believer out of the body of Christ, and it's not long before you will be cold in your relationship with Jesus. Or worse than that, lukewarm. Amen. So if you want to have the inspiration, you want the fervency of the Spirit, I'll tell you what, confess your sins, get filled with the Holy Spirit, pour on the gas of the Word of God, and be with believers that love Jesus. Amen. And you will have the inspiration to be an Olympian for Christ. Well, what does it take? It takes perspiration. It takes inspiration. And thirdly, it takes participation. Serving the Lord. Now, I put down on your little sheet there, can you imagine? Can you imagine an Olympic athlete training for the Olympics, putting in 6 days, 7 days a week, 6 hours a day, all the work, all the time in the gym, all the time with the weights, getting that last rep in, doing everything they need to do, going through all the trials, going through all the preliminaries, getting chosen to go to the Olympics, go to London in 2012, go to Rio in 2016, and then saying, I'm just not going to participate. What? I did all that stuff, but I'm just not going to run in the race. You see, you can't be an Olympian. You can't win the gold unless you are participating. You can't get the gold unless you get in the game. Amen. Participating. An Olympian, to be an Olympian, you have to participate. Now here's the injunction. He says, serving the Lord. And the word serving here, the word serving is in the present tense, which means continually serving. Continually serving. Our lifestyle or habit should be to serve Jesus Christ wherever we are. Not just in church. 1 hour a week. It's in our office buildings. It's in our neighborhoods. It's here in the United States. It's over in China. Wherever, we're to be serving the Lord. We've got to be serving the Lord. Perspiration, dedication, and diligence without participation is activity without productivity. Amen. Preparation without participation is just wasted energy. They did all this stuff, all this workout, swam 50 miles a week. And now I don't want to be in the game. I don't want to swim in the Olympics. That's wasted energy. Amen? Amen? Wasted energy. But if you have inspiration and fervency without participation, it's fanaticism. Man, that's great. I'm all excited. But you're not participating. It is to get all pumped up without an outlet. We serve Him. Serve who? Serving the Lord. We serve Him because He is the Lord. He deserves us to. In fact, the word serving actually comes from the Greek word which means slave. We're slaves of Christ. We serve Him. There's never been an Olympic athlete that won the gold that did not participate. Boy, what an awesome, deep thought. But it's true. They had to be in the game. And we've got to serve the Lord. We've got to be serving the Lord in the local church. There's positions, there's things that need to be done in the local church. And if you're not serving, you need to come and see me, and we'll get you plugged in. We need to serve the Lord wherever we are. Now, the prize. You go through all the effort. Why go through all of this? You might say, you know what? I'm content. I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm content. Why go through all the work? Why go through what it takes to be an Olympian for Christ? Takes so much effort. Let me give you some reasons. First of all, why serve Him? We're commanded to serve Him. And He is Lord. And after all He's done for us, we should willingly, joyfully serve Him. But secondly, folks, there are rewards. There are rewards. The Bible talks about them. There are gold medals, so to speak. Now, the Bible calls them crowns. Calls them crowns. Paul speaks of them. Hold your hand here in Romans. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Just quickly, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And I want you to look at verse 24 through 27. 24 through 27 of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And Paul says this: Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. He is telling the Corinthians, there were the Olympic Games in ancient Greece, and there were the Isthmian Games, which were carried out right on the Isthmus of Corinth, right in the area that the Corinthians, the city of Corinth was found. And they knew about the games. And he said, listen, you know all the work that these people put in, the discipline it takes to get into these games. And these people are competing for a wreath that is perishable. It's perishable. In fact, did you hear about the Brazilian athlete? His name was Felipe Kitadar. He won the bronze medal Olympics in London, bronze medal in judo. He was so excited, he took his bronze medal into the showers with him. And he dropped it, and it broke. So he was petitioning to get another medal in replacement. Before the Olympics were over, his medal broke. You see, the medals are perishable. They're perishable. They rust, bust, and gather dust. You know? They're perishable. You say, but what about Gabby Douglas? She could get $100 million in endorsements. It's perishable. She won't take one dime with her. I'll tell you what, if she got cancer this year, inoperable cancer, and was going to die, she'd give every dime of it away. It's perishable. But folks, we're running for the gold. What we're competing for, we're not competing with each other. But what we are going for is something that is imperishable. What you do for Christ, listen to me, is going to affect your eternity. Now, I'm going to give you my understanding of what those crowns are. Now, you can disagree with me because it's not defined in Scripture, but I'm going to give you the right version. No, I'm going to give you what I think they are. You know what I think the crowns are? Now, are they literal crowns? It could be. But I think the crowns have something to do with our opportunities and abilities in heaven to bring greater glory to Christ. They have something to do with our ability to worship Him. Because in the book of Revelation, you know what we find people doing with crowns? Casting them at Jesus' feet. And they're worshiping the Lord. I heard one person say, well, I hope when I get to heaven, get my crowns, I can wear it for at least a minute or two. We're going to take whatever it is, and we're going to use it to worship Jesus. Amen. And I'll tell you what, if that be the case, I want to get as many crowns as I can. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 15 says we're going to shine with different degrees of glory, not for our praise, but for His praise. So we want to go for the gold. And you can only do that if you participate. Yes. Serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. Well, let me just end today with a story. I want to close with the story of an Olympic athlete who was also an Olympian for Jesus. Most of you know his name. Many of you have seen the movie. Eric Little. Eric Little was called the Flying Scotsman, not the Flying Squirrel. He was the Flying Scotsman. He was one of the fastest runners back in the early 1920s in Scotland. In fact, he was. They looked at him and said, he's going to win the gold medal when he gets to the 1924 Paris Olympics. He's going to win it in the 100-meter race. But when Eric Little found out, and you know Chariots of Fire, remember? When he found out that race, one of the preliminary, it wasn't actually the final race, it was one of the preliminary races, one of the heats leading up to the gold, was going to be run on the Lord's Day. It was going to be run on Sunday. He said, I can't do it. He had trained. He had put in the hours. And he said, I'm not going to dishonor the Lord by doing that on the Lord's Day. So he trained. He decided to enter the 400 meter, which was not his race. That was not the race that they thought he could, that was not his best. But he decided he would enter that. And he did. On the day of the race, a Scottish band, the 51st Brigade Scottish Band, an hour before that race was to be held, started to play outside of the stadium. And a man who was an American who worked with the American team, walked over and put a piece of paper in Eric Little's hand right as they were at the starting block. I think it's on it was 1 Samuel 3:20 or 2:30. It's right in 1 Samuel. But it's the verse that says, "He who honors me, I will honor. He who honors me, I will honor." Eric Little ran that race. He ran like the wind, and he won the gold. He won the gold in the 400 meter. After that, he continued to run, and by the way, he broke the world record. And after that, the next year, he ran several races and broke some other world records. But in 1925, he returned to China. To China, where his parents had served as a missionary. And he served there, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a missionary. From 1925 to 1943. And then Eric Little, in 1943, died in China serving Christ of an inoperable brain tumor. But throughout his ministry there, through his life, through the gifts, through using the gifts of running that God gave him, he was able to lead many people to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And the day that he died, the missionaries who worked with him said that his last words were, "It's complete surrender. It's complete surrender." He had given his life in service of Jesus Christ. He was an Olympian for Jesus. And I don't know when he died. I don't know exactly the timing of the whole thing with the Bema seat of Christ. You know, the judgment seat of Christ, which we're all going to stand before. If it's already taken place for Eric Little, I'm not sure. But I know this, when he stands before Jesus, or when he stood before Jesus, he got the gold. He said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You get the gold." What does it take to be an Olympian for Christ? Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord. Perspiration, inspiration, participation. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we just bow before you, and God, we want to be all that you want us to be. Lord, we want to be Olympians for Jesus. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, to do what it takes to get that last rep in, to get that last chapter in, to spend a little more time on our knees, to get a glow in the spirit, to percolate for Christ. And help us, Lord, to get in the game. There's some people here, Lord, today that need to get in the game. There's others that just need to continue on and continue on and go for the gold. God, I pray that you would help us. Help us in this endeavor, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.